You're listening to Trek FM.
Hi, this is Robert Duncan McNeil, also known as Tom Paris from Star Trek Voyager. You're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey.
To the journey!
I'm your co-host, Tristan Riddell, and with me, as always, is...
Charlene Schmidt.
This episode is one of the top five favorite moments between two people on the show. Now, sometimes it's romantic. Sometimes it's friendship. Sometimes it's an irksome relationship. This one, we're going with the broship, as I referred to it last week.
That's right. You call it broship. I call it bromance. But really, that's the same thing.
And that's between Tom Paris, Harry Kim.
That's right. Bromance is magic, guys. And you know a good thing when you see it. Like with Kirk and Spock, Miles and Jules, Tom and Harry had their own flavor of it. And we got a lot of it on Voyager.
That we did. And Tom Paris is one of my favorite characters on Star Trek Voyager. And... you know, I think Harry Kim is great. I think he's very underrated. Was he my favorite? No. Was he my least favorite? No. But I enjoyed him that much more when it was with a scene with Tom.
Yes, I think the two actors played off very well together, Robert Duncan McNeil and Garrett Wong, and I think made something of this really pretty much from the get-go, because this started way back in the very beginning in Caretaker, and they kept it through the whole 7 years. That's a pretty cool thing. Not all of the bromances were that way. You know, Miles and Jules didn't get going for a little while.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. It's, yeah, they kind of went from the get-go, and Miles and, I think that's why I like Miles and Julian a little bit more, because there was more build, there was more animosity at the beginning, so they had more hurdles to jump over. And so I think I enjoy watching that arc a little bit more than this one. Even though I love the relationship, it's much more of a journey in Deep Space Nine than it is in Voyager.
That's true. Miles and Julian were much more of a journey, whereas Tom and Harry hit it off right away and were fast friends. They just knew Absolutely. That they had a connection there. So I've been dying to know all week what your picks are going to be. I've been thinking about this pretty much off and on since we decided we want to take this on, because I love me some Tom and Harry. So why don't you kick us off? Tell me your first pick, please.
My first pick is the first time that we see Captain Proton in Night.
Yay, Captain Proton.
Because Night is the first time we see Captain Proton, right?
Correct.
Because this, like, we had no idea what we were getting in for. And I think that's why I love it and appreciate it so much, because this showed, you know, like, it opens up real great. It's in black and white. We're like, why does Tom have a rocket pack? You know, like, what on earth is Harry wearing? And why does this woman keep screaming? And it was just, it was so out of our element that it was so much fun. And I was like, oh my gosh, I hope we see that again. And we were not disappointed.
Not one darn bit. And this list would be incredibly incomplete without some sort of mention of Captain Proton. I'm glad this was your very first pick. And this is something that this is something that Tom and Harry do often. They are often in the holodeck together. Tom introduced Harry to Sandrines. Then they played hockey, and they've done many other holodeck programs together. Mm-hmm. And this, I think, though, is the ultimate of their adventures.
Now, okay, there's this moment later on in the show where Tuvok is going through Ponfar, and Tom tries to convince Tuvok that it's okay, you know, to have a dalliance in the holodeck, you know, especially if it's a hologram of your wife, you know, something like that. You know, you remember that conversation?
Yes, I do.
You know, like, he says it's logical, you know, she'll understand. And he says, he's like, is that what you tell your wife? And he's like, oh no, my days of, you know, like, rescuing damsels in distress or something like that as Captain Proton are over. And so right when he said that, I was like, whoa, okay. So there was a kind of a, After Dark scenario with Captain Proton that we never saw.
Now, the apologist in me is screaming right now because we really honestly don't know for sure how long they were playing Captain Proton and Buster Kincaid in this scenario. We saw it in season 5, long after Tom and B'Elanna got together. But maybe this was something that happened around the Sandrine's days. We don't know. Or maybe it was just more of a general comment.
Oh, no, I'm not even, I'm not saying, like, oh, he cheated on B'Elanna or anything like that. I'm not saying. I'm not referencing that at all. I'm just saying that Tom Paris had sex in the holodeck as Captain Proton.
Well,
that's weird.
You know, well, I mean, well, Janeway had sex with an Irish guy. I mean, it's all
we don't
kind
know
of
that.
Weird.
We don't know that.
Yes, we do. She has a holographic boyfriend that malfunctions. That can mean only one thing. She knows how he malfunctions.
Well, I hear it's common in a lot of guys his age, so.
Now we're getting into territory that's a whole new podcast.
But seriously, though, like, it's just, okay, we've all thought about it. And if you haven't, you're a liar.
Having sex on the holodeck?
Yes, we've all thought about it. Yeah. And not necessarily personally, as in, like, I wish I had a holodeck, you know, on those lonely Alaskan nights or anything like that. What I'm talking about is that.
You're talking Will Riker?
I am talking Will Riker.
You know he was on the holodeck on those lonely Alaskan nights. You know he was.
You know he was. And he even kind of made a comment. Like, there was one season or one episode when he got really hot and bothered. Like, I can't remember who it was. I think it might have been Famke Janssen in The Perfect Mate. And maybe I'm wrong, but there was a moment when somebody turns him on and he can't do anything about it and just kind of, like, puts his hand on his face and he goes, like, a Riker Bridge, if anybody needs me, I'm going to be on Holodeck 2. And you're like, oh my God!
Yeah. And we know what, like, he's going to do.
Yeah, we've all seen that before, but for Tom to admit it in Voyager, it just, like, blew my little mind. I was like, wait, no, we don't talk about those things. Like, we all know it happens, but we don't talk about it.
Is that the taboo of the 24th century, who you're having sex with on the holodeck?
I think so, because there's a Deep Space Nine episode, Our Man Bashir, where Garak walks in on Bashir kissing a woman that he just saved.
That's right.
And he says, not only is it rude to enter unannounced to somebody's holodeck programs, it's illegal. You know why it's illegal.
That's right. And if there is a rule, something happened to make that rule get into place. Yes, yes. Okay, well, as great as talking about sex on the holodeck is, I think we need to turn our focus back to Tom and Harry and keep going on our list. As much fun as I'm having on this, you know, maybe that should be a future episode or something.
Sex on the holodeck beach.
Hey, I'm all about that. Well, okay, I'll go with my first pick and got to start with the very beginning because there's some great moments in Caretaker and I picked one. And this is the one, that's probably not the one that you're thinking. It's the one where Harry says he can choose his own friends after kind of having a conversation with who was then the chief medical officer who was the real jerk who got killed and a couple of other no-name people. I think, I don't know, maybe Commander Cavett was there as well. I'm not really sure. I don't have the full picture in my head right now. I really wish I had a photographic memory. Side note. But anyway, Tom Paris gets his hot plain tomato soup and then, you know, he talks to Harry and kind of tells Harry a little bit about what happened from his perspective. And Harry says, you know what? I can choose my own friends for myself. And that's when you know he's chosen Tom as a friend. He doesn't really care what Tom has done in his past. He's going to get to know this Tom. So it's that moment.
Yeah. 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 I think that's a solid moment. And like you said, there's so many great ones in Caretaker because it's the beginning, you know, it's the genesis. And
genesis?
It's the, I did that on purpose.
Of course you did. It's like getting me to say time's up.
Yeah, I think that's a watershed moment for them. And I think it really shows how far this is going to go. And it's we get his backstory. We get, you know, we get Harry's personality. And it all comes to fruition. It all comes to a head. And there's just like, okay, they're buds. This is when it began. Like, this is when
their friendship began. This is the moment. I mean, there is the whole thing about Tom bailing Harry out at Quark's. But this is the moment where you know that Harry could have walked away. and realize, okay, mm-hmm. maybe Tom's not such a cool guy to be around. But no, he decides that he wants to continue forging a friendship with Tom. And this is it. This is that moment. Turn the corner.
Yep. That's it.
Cool. What's your next one?
Well, then I'll just go ahead and give my next one then and talk about the same episode, Caretaker, because you did not choose the same moment that I did. And I'm so thankful for that.
Okay.
But I did choose one from Caretaker. And it's the first time that they meet, the one that you were referencing.
Aha.
At Quark's bar, where Harry sticks his foot in his mouth. He gets in trouble with Quark. Like, he makes a slur against the Ferengi people like an idiot. And he, you know, like, Quark tries to take him for all that he's worth. And then Tom comes in and saves the day because he's street smart. He's not a green ensign like Harry.
Right.
And it, again, it shows the characters where Harry is naive and foolish and sticks his foot in his mouth. Tom is suave, knows the world, knows all the tricks because he's done them himself. And
right.
It's this was a prelude to their friendship. This was a prelude to your moment when they actually became friends.
Yeah, I like the way you're putting that, the prelude. It is, yes. Kind of shows, hey, these two are, they work well together. They both have very different strengths. And then together they make like a more well-rounded, not person, but, you know, they complement one another. That's what I'm trying to say. And so you see the possibility here, and then it does come to fruition later on. And you can't not have this list without this moment, even though I know it's kind of, it's like a given. You have to have mm-hmm. it.
This moment also, this kind of makes me wonder where, you know, like he, you know, Quark said, like Harry tries to buy it anyway, and Quark's like, they're not for sale. He's like, how much for the entire case? And then he goes, is that cash or credit? And it kind of makes me wonder, like, we've heard multiple times that humans don't have money.
Right, there's no money in the Federation, allegedly.
At least there's no money in Starfleet. There's no money on Earth. So what do? They have to have something when they go out into the world, when they go into the universe. Because how was Harry going to buy that if he didn't have any
right.
money? So they have to have something to use.
Yeah, there's got to be some way to get like some gold pressed latinum or something. Had he bought the whole tray from Quark or something. They've never right. really fully explained how that works, have they? Ever, on any of the shows.
No,
right?
None. Okay. None. Like, Jake Sisko one time said, it's like, I'm a human. I don't have money. And then Nog goes, well, then you don't need any of mine.
Right? I don't know. I wish that is one thing they would have maybe sorted out for us, just because it's so confusing. How do they make this work? I don't know. Little gripe. Small gripe.
Little gripes, but it makes you think, and it makes you wonder, and it makes you ponder.
Indeed.
All right, what's your next one?
Next one. How about when Tom rattles off the list of girls Harry's been unsuccessful with in The Disease? A hologram, the wrong Delaney sister, an ex-Borg. I mean, it's kind of a playful jab, and it's something mm-hmm. that only best friends can do to one another. You know, like, if Neelix would have said it, it probably would have come across as maybe a little insulting. But since Tom mm-hmm. is doing it, Harry can take the point and understand that it's more of a playful, joking matter rather than, geez, Harry, you really suck.
Yeah, like, you're really horrible with women. Did you know that?
Right, because he's not aware at all.
Yeah, you're the Geordi of Voyager. Did you know that?
Yeah, just in case you didn't know, goes, now you know.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of a cute moment.
Yeah, absolutely, because we were all thinking it.
Yes, we really were. Like, oh, Harry, no, sweetheart.
Yeah.
And Tom, it does a great job throughout the whole show, not just with Harry, of saying what we are thinking. You know, he is kind of the audience yeah. surrogate. He puts it down to the layman's terms and speaks for us. He's very good at that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, what is your next pick?
This one is a fun, lighthearted moment. I'll save the serious stuff for later. In Relativity, when they're playing ping pong together.
Good moment.
I love these little moments. Like you mentioned earlier, like when they played hockey together. Like, we saw them in hockey gear holding sticks and everything like that. And it's just non-Star Trek. And it's fun. This is one of those non-Star Trek moments. Like, we've never seen a ping pong table before.
Right.
And it was refreshing to see that in the mess hall. And it was Tom against Harry playing ping pong. And it was Tom against his lady friend, B'Elanna. And it's just like the banter that they have going back and forth, like the good-natured ribbing, like you said, like only friends can do that kind of that thing. And not to mention, like, even though this has very little connection to Tom and Harry, but I've talked about it before where Tom, you know, like hits the ping pong as hard as he can, and then it stops midair, it starts spinning, and then continues on after a couple of seconds, and then Neelix just hits his pad
right.
as a point.
Point. Yes, yes. Point. Such a great moment. I love these little stolen moments, too, where we really just kind of see the crew doing whatever they do when they're not on the bridge. It's refreshing and it's fun.
Yeah, it is. It's. I love it when they sneak in these things into Star Trek because it's not all... What would have made... The only thing that would have made this better is if they weren't wearing their uniforms.
Right, which we really should have seen more of. And I think maybe if they were making it now, they would have been more conscious of that. But I guess... I don't know. I guess you also never know for sure when you're going to be called to the bridge, so you got to be ready at any given time, yeah?
That's true. Sad, but probably true.
Yeah, especially on Voyager, where you're in the Delta Quadrant. There's danger abounding all the time. You never know when a Borg cube is going to come your way.
But Catherine, when she's in full Victorian dress, she will still change before she comes onto the bridge. Even when every single second counts against a battle with the Borg... She will change before she comes on.
She probably can't even sit down in her captain's chair in that big poofy dress. So
that would have been amazing.
Chakotay, I'm going to be 5 minutes. Just give me 5 minutes.
There's a knot in her corset. She's like, better make it 10.
Love it. All right. Are we on to me or you now?
We're on to you.
Okay. All right. Well, my next one, I guess, is maybe veering a little more on the serious end, although it's not... deathly serious here. It's when Tom tells Harry he's going to be a father, and Harry reminds Tom of the things that he's going to miss out on, and Harry reminds Tom of the things he's going to miss out on now, like the late nights on the holodeck and no more racing the Delta Flyer. And this happens in Lineage, where we find out B'Elanna is pregnant. And again, this is kind of a playful jab, but it's also got a little more of a serious side because I think it's Harry coming to terms that his best friend's priorities are going to shift now that he's going to be a father. And while he's happy for Tom, definitely, he knows that things are going to change. They're going to be different. They're going to have a different relationship because the child's now in the equation.
We talk about this moment a lot. I think this is a great moment because this is a very real moment. This is something that almost all of us have been through. And I remember, like, I connected with it on a very personal level long before I was married. You know, there was a time when I became the third wheel. I was the Harry Kim.
Well, yeah, and poor Harry, he's been the third wheel for a little while now with ever since Tom and B'Elanna got together. But he's especially the third wheel now that Tom is going to have a family.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, this is an important moment. It's not necessarily like... It doesn't necessarily need to be a great moment or an epic moment or a sad moment, but this is an important moment in their relationship.
Yeah, yeah, it's a huge turning point. I mean, anytime somebody is bringing a new life into the world, that's a profound change in their lives and how they conduct themselves and all that, at least usually. So, yeah, you know, it's an interesting moment for this pair that we've watched for 7 years almost at this point, and... Yeah, their days are going to be different, and getting out to the holodeck is going to become an increasingly rarer thing, probably.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And his dalliances with his secretary is going to go way down now.
Oh, way down. Yeah.
Way down, way down.
Yeah, maybe Harry will get in on that action now.
ew, okay.
Sorry, I didn't say that. What is your next pick?
This one is... This isn't an important moment. This isn't a great moment. This isn't an epic moment or anything like that. It's just one of my favorites. It's when Paris goes to Kim in parturition. He goes to Kim's quarters.
I'm glad you got this one. It was on my honorable mentions.
Yeah, it's when he starts to talk about, you know, Paris is admitting that he has feelings for Cass. And we all knew that he had feelings for Cass. Neelix knew he had feelings for Cass.
Yes.
And, you know, like Paris was just trying to... you know, not necessarily keep his distance, but he was trying to say like, it's just a flirtation. It's nothing real. And this is when he starts to think that it is real. And so he goes to Kim for advice. And I just love the banter that they have back and forth. And Peric says, a whole crew full of women. I have to fall for the one I can't have. Why do I do this myself? And Kim says, I think you enjoy it.
And, boom, right?
And then Yeah, it's just, it's that honest friendship moment where you can cut through the BS and just get to the heart of the matter. And for some reason, this is the moment that that resonates with me the most. I don't know why. Out of all of Star Trek, or out of all of Voyager, this is kind of, this sticks in my head the most, where Kim goes, "There's an old Chinese expression, stay out of harm's way." And Paris replies, "That's not a Chinese expression." And Kim just simply says, "If it works, use it."
Right. I mean, that really could have been awful, stumbly dialogue, but they make it work so nicely. I was just watching this episode not that long ago, and so this scene is very fresh in my mind. And yes, I love the fact that they can be so brutally honest to one another, and it's not a judgmental thing. It's just, dude, you know?
Yeah.
They can speak their minds and not get into a big, angry, raging fight over it. It's just, this is what you need to hear right now. And that's what real friendship is.
Yes, and you and I have said this several times on the show and also behind the scenes, where a real friend calls you on your BS, calls you on the crap. Like when you're acting like a jerk, or if you're treating somebody else poorly or treating them poorly, a good friend does not just go along with it and support you no matter what. A good friend supports you by telling you that you're being a jackass.
Right. Yes, you might want the other person to support you because they're your friend, but this is the absolute best act of love they can possibly give you, which is to call you out on your BS. And this is kind of what Harry does. Tom goes in finally confronting the fact that, yeah, he does have some feelings here, and what is he going to do about it? And he talks with his best friend, who says, "You know, I think you like the game, buddy. You've always done this to yourselves, to yourself. You need to figure out what in the world is going to break this cycle." Fortunately, Tom did.
That's right. And he broke it and shattered it. That's what he did.
He did, yes. Shattering it seems only apt with B'Elanna, who likes to break things, as we were talking about in our commentary last week. Okay, well, my next one is, we're going to get a little serious now. You probably have this on your list too, because this is such a turning point. And that is, of course, Tom and Harry surviving prison together in the chute. And even though Harry almost killed Tom at one point, all Tom remembers from those events was Harry sticking up for Tom and saying, "This man is my friend." That's where the bromance got sealed. We've talked about it a lot before, but it has to be here.
Yeah, this one is my last one. This one's my top one.
Very good. Yeah, this is a very solid ultimate moment for these two.
Yeah, they've been through hell together. They had a form of torture enacted upon them. And they were trying to be starved. We saw men killed. They saw men killed in front of them. And Harry almost killed Tom out of frustration and manipulation. And Tom was willing to let go of all of that. He didn't care about any of that because he knew that what was going on, that it wasn't really Harry. And Harry was just so guilt-ridden and down on himself. And Tom says, "What I remember is, you know, a man defending me and saying, 'This is my friend.'" And that's such a poignant moment and such a beautiful moment. And it was so great of Tom to forgive Harry of what he couldn't control, but also focus on the positive.
Absolutely. And I think for Tom personally, this is a huge moment because I have a feeling in his life, not many other people have stuck up for him. And so, you know, I mean, he's got a bad reputation back in the Alpha Quadrant. He did do something wrong. A lot of people aren't exactly going to stand behind you when you've done something like that, and a lot of people know about it. But Harry is a solid friend to Tom, and if there was any doubt prior to this, you know that their fate is sealed here. They are bros for life.
Bros for life.
Yeah. All right, so that covered your last one. I've got one more, and it's not even really a moment that we saw so much. This is where Tom and Harry are having to explain an unfortunate series of events in Survival Instinct, with that wonderful punchline from Janeway about, "Well, did you win?" referring to the fight they got into. And, you know, it's one of those things that you could only do and potentially get away with your best friend. Like, it kind of reminds me of this thing that makes the rounds on Facebook every now and again, where the scenario is that you and whoever, you know, sees your post, you've landed yourselves in jail for the night. What are the first three words that you say to one another when you come to? this is kind of Tom and Harry right here. being confronted by Janeway, like, okay, you did what? And then, okay, and then that happened. That's real good, guys. Well, did you at least win? Yes, yes, ma'am, yeah. We did. So, cool moment.
So that's our list, but do you have any honorable mentions, Char?
I'm afraid we already went through them, which was Parturition and in Caretaker. And I have a feeling I'm forgetting a whole lot more other things. Oh, wait, one just came to me in The Cloud, where Tom sneaks into Harry's quarters and wakes up Harry, who's now, we find out, is blindfolded to help him that's sleep. Right. That's when he introduces Harry to Sandrines. So there's an honorable mention.
There's an Arnold mention. And then Harry says, like, I remember being in the womb. He's like, what?
Yes, you can't not forget that. It's just one of those things. Yeah, and again, it's not like a life-changing thing for Tom and Harry, but it is one of those moments. And we do get several of them throughout the show that we've not mentioned at all. Like, how about in Time and Again, where Tom is trying to convince Harry to go on the double date or no date, you know, with the Delaney sisters. Turns out he ended up dating the wrong one anyway, but hey. So we get little scattered things throughout, but I wanted to go for the biggest ones, and I have a feeling you did too.
And this one isn't exactly a good moment, but I was talking about it just yesterday on Twitter, where it's Tom almost makes Harry kiss a cow.
Oh, yes, of course. You know, this list would be incomplete without that moment. Little bit of a prank. Again, something that only Tom Paris would be getting away with. If it were anybody else, Harry would probably make sure that somebody would get thrown in the brig for a good day or two.
All right, everyone. Well, that's our show. That's our list. You know what? I want people to go on Twitter, on Facebook, on the Babel Conference, and give us your top five favorite Harry and Tom moments.
Yeah, I'm sure there's moments out there that we have not mentioned yet. And so if you've got moments like that, go on the Babel Conference on Facebook. It's B-A-B-E-L. And if you're not a member, just click to join and someone will let you in pretty darn quick. Or hit us up on Twitter, because we're both on Twitter a whole lot more than we are on Facebook. My handle is Oh the Profanity. And Tristan, you are the Insane Robin. So
that's correct.
Give us a little at reply, tag us, and let us know what they are. We'd love to hear. Or if you would just rather send us an email, you can still do that too. And you can go to trek.fm/contact, select To the Journey from the drop-down list of the shows, and then that goes directly to our email inboxes. And hey, speaking of contact, we should mention that we got a voicemail. And it's been a long time since we got a voicemail.
Yes, and I think he didn't give his last name, but I think it's the same John that has emailed us a couple of times and given us a really stellar 5-star review.
It very well might be. It's John from Indiana, and he let us know that he's going through all the episodes, starting with episode 1, making that very long trek now of 155 episodes, and I can't believe how many of our listeners have done that over the years. It just astounds me how you don't get sick of us. But I'm eternally grateful. It's fantastic. And right now he says he's currently on our rewrite of The Fight. And so we're so glad that, John, you're enjoying the show, and thanks so much for leaving us a voicemail to your journey of listening to all 155 episodes of our show and counting. And then, of course, thanks to all of you who write in and give us show suggestion ideas or just say, hey, how's it going? Love the show, all that. We love your feedback. So thanks very much for all of that. And, of course, if you want to send us a voicemail, you can do that, just like John did. There's, I think, on the left-hand side of the Trek FM website, it's Send a Voicemail. Or go to speakpipe.com/trekfm, and then you can send it to us there. Well, Tom and Harry moments aren't the only thing that we're talking about on Trek FM this week. Here's a glimpse at what else is happening on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
With Kirk, Spock, McCoy, Uhura, Chekov, Scotty, Sulu, and the Enterprise, that is your crew. That is the family of the original series. And yes, we would like to see that maintained and protected and treated with reverence.
Earl Grey.
Geordi is the one that's like, you know what? No, you're wrong. You're wrong about Data.
I'm going to drop a challenge right here, and Data's totally going to step up to the plate. And you're going to get served, Plasky.
And that's how LaForge created Moriarty.
I'm not saying it turned out good, but I mean, he had good intentions.
To the Journey!
Wow.
Part of me is going, wow, this is really good. Another part of me is going, really? Like, this is what you spend your time on?
I kind of wish that we could use the whole time that we allot for our podcast for you to read this synopsis, because I really enjoyed story time with Tristan.
Commentary, Trek Stars.
And I can see, you know, Abrams recognizing that talent and being like, you know what? I know that you can make a good movie here. You know, I'm not convinced that I can yet, but I think that you can, and I'm going to learn from you too, so that one day I can make a Star Wars movie.
The 602 Club.
How do these kids work for you, especially in this first movie?
It's amazing when you look back on how far they've come and the chemistry that they had right off the bat, because from the word go, when they were on the Hogwarts Express all at the same time, that's really when it took off. That's really when the movie took off for me.
Literary Treks.
I was given a couple of mandates for Rough Beasts of Empire, one of which was, of course, jump the story ahead 4 years. Another was get Sisko back on a starship and also have Spock in the story.
Women at Warp.
You can always count on DC Fontana to Vulcan things up, and I for one, appreciate her for that.
Get Vulcan with it. Na 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 na. Na 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 na. Get Vulcan with it.
Meta Trex.
Don't tell me you haven't wondered what it's like to be Patrick Stewart.
Actually, I've wondered. I've often wondered what it's like to be the Shat.
There's no way to know. It's one of a kind.
He's one of a kind. He's one of a kind.
Melodic Trex.
But it's basically from a motivation of not treating the audience stupid. You know, treating them that they have dreams, they have imagination, they have hope, they have fear. They have all those things, and the music plays on them.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all of our shows. None of them are possible without the help of our wonderful folks at Patreon. Go to patreon.com/trekfm. Consider becoming a monthly subscriber and helping us out. We are a listener-supported network. Every dollar we receive goes toward supporting this network, whether it's distribution, bandwidth, storage. This stuff costs a lot to produce, unfortunately, and get to the interwebs. It's free for you to download, but it does cost money to make it happen. And so we appreciate everybody's support, especially the associate producers of TTJ, because they love us. And we love them back. Those lovely people are Kenneth Tripp, Jamie Deuce, Aaron Harvey, and Bruce Lish. So thanks, guys. And we also want to thank people who have written us iTunes reviews. We have two more that came in this week. So thank you very much, guys. Anytime we put out this call, we get a couple more. And so we need to thank Lou Lee Bell and KDH1701 for both writing reviews, giving TTJ 5 stars in the US iTunes store. And you know what, Tristan? I'm never, ever going to get tired of people saying that even though they aren't huge fans of Voyager, they listen to our show, and then that helps them appreciate Voyager that much more. That is just so freaking cool.
It's true. It's not the first time we've heard it, and I never get tired of it either.
Yeah, and it probably won't be the last. That's just the biggest compliment I think anybody could possibly give us. So thanks so much, guys. And if you haven't given us an iTunes review, take 5 minutes, let us know, especially if you are in a non-iTunes store, and we'll be sure to give you a shout out on the show. All right. Well, our favorite bromance is now covered. We can check that off our list of relationshippers. And what are we going to do next week?
Next week, I'm pretty excited to talk about, because it's a what-if scenario, and I love doing what-if scenarios on Voyager. And this was a topic submitted by my good friend and other co-host, and you're a good friend and former co-host. Actually, well, you still podcast together. Matt Hansen.
We do on occasion. Yes, we do. Yeah, Matt Hansen. In fact, we've done a few little drunk commentaries together on Commentary Trek Stars Babies. We're talking about doing another one, and so be on the lookout for when we announce that. That's going to come up really soon.
He told me which one it was, and you guys are in for a treat. So, but his idea was, what if Voyager got home during the Dominion War?
Ew.
And what role would Voyager and its crew play in the Dominion War in the Alpha Quadrant? And I can't wait to talk about it, but you'll have to tune in next week to hear it. So until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!